You're listening to the Blissful Bites podcast, episode 164.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
So happy you are here hanging out with me on the Blissful Bites podcast. This episode comes actually from a listener request. I had someone actually reach out to me and tell me that they would love to hear this person's blogging journey story. So I had to reach out to Kelsey from Little Bits Of. She is a friend and told her, I had some people request you, so please come on the podcast and share your story. Kelsey is, first of all, so much fun. If you follow her on Instagram or Instagram stories, her personality always shines through, and she's always having fun with whatever she's doing. And she's had an awesome year and past few months, especially. She was featured on Dr. Oz because she had this crazy recipe, sweet potato toast, go absolutely viral. So on the podcast interview today, she's sharing how that happened and just overall her journey and how she got to where she is right now, especially since she most recently quit her full-time job to become a full-time blogger. So I'm really excited to share this story. I had so much fun interviewing her, and I think you'll like it too. Be sure to reach out to Kelsey and come on over to the Blissful Bites community on Facebook and tell us what you loved about the episode. This episode has been sponsored by coffee. If you know me at all, you know I absolutely love coffee. I love my morning routine of coffee. I love anything having to do with coffee. So this podcast sponsorship couldn't be more perfect. So I'm really excited to bring you this opportunity. I'm feeling really lucky here because I get to bring together two things I love, coffee and my audience. So I've teamed up with Kohana Coffee, and they are giving away a $1,000 prize to the top voted coffee recipe creator. So I know so many of you listeners are recipe creators, and I know that you guys also love coffee. So you are going to get the chance to not only try Kohana Coffee, but then you can make the recipe with coffee in it, and you can submit it to have a chance to win $1,000. So this is a pretty awesome contest, and you know I only bring you guys the best. So it's really simple. All you have to do is go to NicoleCulverBlog.com/coffee. You can enter your name and your address, and they're going to send you a free Kohana product. When the coffee comes, you're going to make a recipe involving the coffee. You're going to submit it. Then we're all going to vote on it, and the best recipe wins. So at the very least, you'll get to try some awesome coffee. Who doesn't want free coffee? So go to NicoleCulverBlog.com/coffee and go check out the coffee. You'll get a free sample and make the recipe so you have a chance of winning $1,000. I can't wait to see what you come up with. Kelsey loves to share her journey to find balance in health and how learning a bit more about food and how it affects you can make a drastic difference in your daily life. Finding unique ways to turn healthy food into delicious and comforting dishes is what has helped her turn her real food blog into a business. She believes that we can get through this crazy life one Brussels sprout at a time. And of course, cheers to it with some wine on Friday night. And it's Friday when we are recording this.
Oh, yeah.
Happy wine day.
Happy wine day indeed.
So thanks for being here with us. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
You're going to be able to know when I recorded all these interviews together because I sound very raspy, but thank you for rescheduling because I already canceled on you once, so couldn't do it to you again.
No, you sound great. I'm sorry that's going around. It's just the worst time.
I know. So tell everyone a little bit about you and what you do.
Yeah. So my name is Kelsey, obviously, and I have a real food blog. I actually started my blog about 5 years ago, but I've just started doing it full time about almost 2 months ago now. I am married. I'm 27. I'm doing the whole bio. I just bought a house. I have a dog. I live in Southern California. And yeah, I've been doing my blog for almost 5 years, and I just absolutely love it. I can't believe I'm doing it full time now. It doesn't seem real. But I'm just super excited about the future right now.
So tell everyone a little bit about your blog, because I think that's the one thing you didn't say the name of yet.
Oh yeah, that might be good to know. The name of my blog is Little Bits Of, and it's Little Bits Of Real Food and Real Talk is kind of the tagline, which is kind of part of the whole story. I actually started it. It was called Little Bits Of Baking, Crafting, and Life, because it was all baking at one point. I actually wanted to be a pastry chef for most of my childhood and life until I worked in a bakery during college and quickly realized that is not as glamorous as it sounded to me. And then, of course, throughout the years, I've found out about healthy eating and real food, and it's totally changed the way I eat. So my blog has just evolved with me. And I think actually making that change was really great for my blog, because it just kind of niched me down into a good amount of followers and people who, you know, believe in the same things I do and stuff. So right now, like on Instagram, it's Little Bits Of _ real food. And I just share a lot of my daily eats, as well as just a lot of mostly right now, like paleo inspired grain-free, dairy-free recipes that are super easy to throw together. You know, I was working a full-time job just until recently, so all the food I ate was, as you know, 30-minute meals and quick things I could throw together, but tasted delicious and tasted like the stuff I grew up with. So
yeah, and I just want to say, because I think a lot of times people go to a blogger site and they see a beautiful site and they're like, they must spend all their time crafting mm-hmm. and doing all these things. But you commuted a really long time mm-hmm. for a really long time.
Yeah, definitely. I know. My commute for most of my time at my old job was like maybe 45 minutes, but then for the last like 4 months after we sold our condo that was near my old job and moved down to Orange County, I was doing like a 2-hour commute each way to work and just fitting everything in on weekends and weeknights, and, you know, just had this goal in mind. So I just kept working. And luckily, like a huge part of my success, I feel like, had to do with my husband being in paramedic school last year, because he started paramedic school in January, and so from January 2016 till like August, he was working around the clock and didn't have time to hang out with me, so I was just like constantly working on my blog, and it kind of worked out for both of us.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I feel like I've heard a lot of stories where people started a blog in some sort of almost like downtime in their life. Mm-hmm. They just found some extra time, and they started it, and it ended up evolving into something like way more bigger.
Yeah, definitely.
So right. When you were working full-time outside of the house, how did you prioritize mm-hmm. what you were going to do for your blog? Because I know that's something a lot of people struggle with. They don't know if they should be doing mostly content creation or doing Pinterest or Instagram. How did you really mm-hmm. figure that out, since you were out of the house 4 hours a day, basically? I mean, yeah. Commuting yeah. just yeah. 4 hours a day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I never really had a full like social media schedule or anything really figured out. I was just, you know, every weekend I knew I posted twice a week. I made it a commitment to myself in 2016 to post twice a week, because that was my biggest challenge before then, is just being consistent. And I knew that was so key. So I, every weekend would make 2 recipes, and then, you know, on Saturdays would be my recipe days, and then Sundays I would edit photos, and then throughout the week I would write the posts. And then, I mean, throughout last year too, my Instagram grew, because I would just take pictures of my food and I wasn't really scheduling anything ahead of time. I still don't really schedule anything for Instagram too much, but I was just taking pictures of what I was eating. And yeah, it kind of just was not super organized, but just whatever worked for me and whatever I could fit in at the time. And constantly also, of course, like listening to your podcast, listening to other podcasts and reading books, and just always trying to inform myself the best I could to try to figure it out and try to keep up with everything that was going on and everyone else and what they're doing. So it was a crazy busy year for sure.
Yeah. And I just want to go back to how you said niching down really ended up helping you. How did you get mm-hmm. to that point where you realized, okay, I don't want to just write about every single thing or different parts of my life or even different ways to eat? How did you really yeah. say, okay, I'm ready to niche down? Because again, it's a scary thing for a lot of people, because they think if they don't talk to everyone, then mm-hmm. they're going to turn people away, when in fact it's kind of the opposite that ends up happening.
Yeah, it's so true. When my blog turned from like baking into like healthy food, I hadn't done like a Whole 30, which I'll get into too, but I had just started eating healthy. You know, I saw that documentary Fed Up about all the sugar and everything, and I freaked out and just was like, okay, I'm going to start eating healthy and clean, real food. So I started blogging about those recipes, and that helped a little bit, but it wasn't really until I did a Whole 30 last January, which if people don't know is just an elimination diet where you cut out everything. I just finished my second one. No dairy, grains, legumes, alcohol, sugar, anything. And when I did that, that's when I started documenting all my meals that I was eating on Instagram. And also when I started that January Whole 30 last year, I had maybe like 900 Instagram followers, if that, and those were all just like my friends, because I turned my regular Instagram into my blog's Instagram. And so I had no idea really how to attack Instagram at that point. But once I just started posting all my photos of what I was eating every day, and then naturally everything I was making for my blog was Whole 30, I quickly realized, you know, there wasn't a huge market of bloggers that had a lot of great Whole 30 recipes. So, you know, when I would Google Whole 30 recipes, you know, the same few blogs kept coming up. So there was definitely like space in that area. And I think when I started really niching down to that, like people like having a place to go to for one certain thing. And my Instagram and my Pinterest kind of grew from there.
Yeah. So you just did your second Whole 30. So what kinds of things did you put on your blog to kind of support other people who were going through it? Because obviously it's a great, right now it's February 3rd. So it's a great time of year to be putting up that type of content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to be posting 3 days a week. So that's helping, I think, as well. But I have been posting lots of the Whole 30 recipes, as well as, you know, I really try to reach out to other bloggers as much as I can, as well as people like, and in the actual Whole 30 community, I really try to, you know, get into that community and talk to their social media manager at the Whole 30 and see, you know, is there anything I could do for your website or anything like that? And really just immerse myself in there. You know, on Instagram, I'll look at the hashtag Whole 30, hashtag January Whole 30, and find other people that are doing it and engage with them. Just because it is such a community driven kind of, I don't want to call it a diet, but you know, like group of people and meal plan. So yeah, I think just finding people in the community and really just immersing yourself in it, sharing recipes, and then finding other bloggers. A ton of bloggers did the Whole 30 this year. So doing roundups with those bloggers so we could all share them across all of our channels was really helpful. And
How did you first reach out to the Whole 30 people, basically? Because I know a while ago you took over their account, I believe. Mm-hmm. So how did that relationship develop?
Yeah, so I just emailed the info at Whole 30 or whatever the email address is on their website. I think back last like May, maybe, I really wanted to take it over. So I emailed them and just kind of pitched myself and my blog. And that at that point I had, you know, maybe 2,000 Instagram followers or something like that. And I, was starting to build a little bit of momentum. And then I think around that time is when, I posted about sweet potato toast, which we can get into that too.
Yeah, we have to get into that. I've been holding back.
I know. So that's kind of when things started picking up traction. So I think they responded to me and they said, yeah, let's set up a time for you to do it. That sounds great. I mean, they have someone take it over every week and there's 52 weeks in a year. So they like to fit people in, and they're great too, because you don't need to have a huge following in order to take it over. And that's really, I think, when things really picked up, at least on Instagram, because when I took over their channel for a week, I think I gained like 6,000 or 8,000 followers that week, which was huge for me. So just reaching out to them, that's like my whole strategy basically for everything. I just email everyone and pitch myself all day. what you got to do.
Yeah. So take us through how that goes for you. Because again, a lot of people really struggle with pitching themselves because you kind of have to talk about how great you are, essentially. So what has been your strategy and what can you share with the listeners on how to do that effectively?
Yeah. So, I mean, well, first of all, I definitely make sure for the brands that I'm reaching out to, it's brands that I absolutely love, brands that I use. So when I email them, I can explain all the ways I love their product. I can pitch maybe a couple of general recipe ideas, obviously not giving them a whole recipe, but just saying some ideas that you might have and showing how the people that are in your following, the people that you work with and the people that follow your blog and Instagram line up with their brand. I feel like these people that are in marketing jobs in either advertising agencies or PR agencies or just people that work for the business, they really just want their jobs to be made easier. So I try as much as I can to lay out, you know, really detailed plans. Like at the beginning of this year, even though I know a lot of companies don't like to do super long-term partnerships, I laid out like a whole plan for the year of what I could do for them and how I can use their products in different recipes and how now I can implement things on Instagram stories and through Instagram and Pinterest and on my blog and just pitching just a ton of different ways I can help them. And you know, if I see they have, I'll look on their website and see, oh, it looks like they're pushing this certain type of product. Like I'm going to show, okay, I looked at your website and saw that you are pushing this. I definitely want to help with that. And just really coming from like a helpful point of view and not just like, here's my stuff. I'm great. You should work with me. Just because I think I also kind of know this sort of stuff because in my previous job, I was actually a recruiter for an advertising agency. So I really just think back about how I would, you know, expect people to talk to me when they were trying to get a job. And it's just about knowing who you're talking to and people that, you know the company and care about it and want to help. And like, that's the biggest thing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you said you've gone to the website and shown you actually like care about them.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, okay, let's talk about sweet potato toast.
Yeah.
Let's like go into it. What is it? How did you think of it? Did you think it was going to be something that put you on Dr. Oz?
Right? No, not at all. It was such a whirlwind. I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, I think I had seen people, you know, cutting up sweet potatoes and maybe cooking it in a skillet or in the oven. And I was going to do that for my blog one day. And when I was going to start recipe testing, you know, my toaster was there and I thought, hey, let's try that. That'd be funny, you know, if that worked. And it did. And I was like, oh, Matt, can you hold it in the toaster? And Matt's my husband. When I take the pictures, he's like, okay. Then I think maybe a week or two after I posted it, someone big or something on Pinterest must have pinned it because all of a sudden I had like 44,000 views in one day on the post. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that was unheard of for my blog. So it was just like crazy and I couldn't believe it. So it kind of went up and then pretty quickly went down, not totally back down, but down a little bit. And then I think another like 2 weeks after that is when like People Magazine Online posted it and Dr. Oz, his website posted it and Well and Good and just a bunch of people started posting it and I was just blown away. And that was great. And I kept thinking just like, how do I capitalize on this? What do I do now? Do I need to start a whole new sweet potato website or something? but yeah, I just kind of went from there and then, Glamour Magazine reached out and wanted to put it in their November issue, which was really cool to see. And then when it led to Dr. Oz, that was really just kind of a crazy couple weeks for me because like the, producer of the show just called me one day and said, hi, are you Kelsey? Did you make sweet potato toast? Yeah, we'd love to have you come out to New York next week. Does that work? And I was just like, oh my goodness. Yeah, definitely. I had no idea if I can make that work, but I just said yes. And we figured it out and got out there. And he's a very nice man. So it was a really cool experience. And I'd never been to New York. So it was just crazy.
That is so cool. And they just called you like out of nowhere?
Yeah. Well, they emailed me one morning and just said something very vague like, hi, we'd love to talk. I'm from the Dr. Oz show. I'd love to talk to you. I was like, okay, here's my number. And then she just called me and yeah, told me that. I'd love to do a segment of you showing him how to do it. And then over the next week, we just kind of worked on, you know, what I would say and stuff like that. And it was very, very fun and cool experience.
So cool. So now, do you get a lot of questions on like, okay, can you please tell me the secret on how to create a viral post?
Yeah, I have gotten that. And there's really no secret. I wish there was. Like, I would do it again a million times over. But I think it's just the whole consistency thing. You know, I made that promise to myself I was going to post at least 2 times every week that year. And you never know what's going to happen. But if you just stick with it and you know, keep thinking up new things and keep pinning away, Pinterest is my baby. So, yeah, just keep being consistent and it can happen.
So you said you post twice a week, and I love that you post twice a week because I feel like it's doable. And mm-hmm. there's still a lot of people who are trying to post like 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week. So what is your thoughts on that? Because people are really struggling with one, getting their numbers up, but they're always pushing out new content. So mm-hmm. it's hard to focus on marketing your posts if you're always in the content creation mode. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think 2 is perfect. And I went up to 3 and I'm already almost overwhelmed with 3, because if you're really making good content that is well planned out, has really great photos, you know, time goes into writing the blog post, it's really hard to get more than that. I mean, you really need to put in the time to make the content, because that is what's going to end up being successful for you. And let's say you have a lot of time 1 week to bust out 5 recipes. That's great, but save those up so you can be consistent, because that's something that back a couple of years ago when I was blogging, I would have, you know, a long period of time to work on stuff, and I'd make a bunch and I would do the same thing. I'd post like 3 recipes 1 week and 4 the next week, and then I wouldn't post for like 3 months. And I was like, maybe I should have saved them up and, you know, put them out one at a time, because consistency just keeps people engaged. You know, if I can say on my Instagram, I post 3 recipes a week or 2 recipes a week, people can come to expect that and, you know, form that relationship with you, because most of the people, if you're not a fellow blogger, most of the people following blogs are just people looking for healthy recipes and want to try new things. You know, I found people that follow blogs like to experiment in the kitchen too. They like to try these recipes. So they aren't looking for the same thing over and over again, or they aren't looking for, let's say, 5 in a week and then forgetting about them. If they see 1 new recipe a week, oh, I'll try that this week. Oh, then I'll try that this week. You know, thinking of the pace that their lives are going at, I think kind of helps. It's always that strive to want to help the people that are reading your blog and your content.
Ooh, that is such good advice. I love thinking about it. It's so true. People are so busy. If you're posting so many recipes a week, the reality is, I mean, I know so many people who are like, I make 1 new recipe a week or even like a month.
Yeah.
So that's a great tip. Yeah. So I would love for you to share just some fun, like, what are your flops? What recipes have you made that you thought were going to turn out that haven't, or any other flops that you've done in the past year of blogging?
Yeah, there have been a lot of recipe flops. Some ideas I think, oh my God, this is great. Like, I think I was really trying for a while to make like a cauliflower rice kind of oatmeal thing happen. And it's not going to happen. Cauliflower, like I've seen people add cauliflower into oatmeal, which I think could work, but just cauliflower by itself, it's just not. I tried it in so many different ways, and that it just has that flavor that you can't make taste super tasty and like with like cinnamon and stuff. So that was definitely a flop. And then, I mean, I seriously have so many flops. They happen constantly. I was trying to make these like cauliflower fritters the other day and they were just falling apart. And I was like, I'm still going to try to fix it. But I mean, that's the life of a food blogger, is constantly recipe testing and trying to make things work. But I mean, and I think I still have many flops to come. I'm still trying to figure out so many things. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, Facebook marketing and a good strategy for that. I'm still, you know, putting my Instagram posts just onto my Facebook and stuff, because I feel like Facebook's just a hard one to kind of get a hold of. The engagement's so low there. And it's also one of the things, I feel like I've heard it on your podcast or maybe in the summit, but just of not trying to be perfect at everything. And so I think I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, it's okay if I'm not great at Facebook. Like, I can just let that be. I can work on it still, but not try to, like, make it make me sad that it's not great, because I can be good other places.
Yes, you totally. And you are. You're so good other places. You have your Instagram tribe and you're killing it on Pinterest. So until you can somehow automate those two, then Facebook is down the line.
Yeah, definitely.
So anything else you want to share? Just any, what about like one great tip for those who are trying to build their blog into a business?
Yeah, I mean, I think besides the consistency thing, which I'll say over and over again, I think it's just finding people that you look up to and reaching out to them and asking for help. I think a huge part of what turned my whole blog around was Lee from Fit Foodie Finds. She was like a huge mentor to me, as well as Davida from The Healthy Maven when they started that the Blogger Project group. I joined that like a year and a half ago when they started it, and I just asked them questions constantly, and I didn't even care if I was annoying, but they were so helpful and, you know, took the time to just tell me what's worked for them and, you know, help me see that you are totally worth what you put into the work you do. It wasn't until I really realized how much money I could start charging brands that I really realized, you know, what I'm doing is worth money, and it's worth so much more than what I was thinking it was worth in my head. It's really hard to wrap your brain around what you're doing is, you know, really work when you've just been doing it on the side for so long. And so I think that totally helped me transform my blog into a business, you know, seeing it as a business and really being able to just think about it in terms of I need to, you know, pay my mortgage with this month. So I'm going to ask for these prices. And, you know, if these people want to work with me, then it will happen. And it totally did. Like I still can't, it's one of those things. I've only been full-time now for almost 2 months and I cannot believe it's real. Like it's kind of crazy to me. So, I think, you know, finding people that you can trust and count on. I mean, people reach out to me and ask questions and I'm more than happy to hop on a phone call or now meet for lunch or just answer any questions people have, because everyone's been there before wherever you are, or people want to help, and this community is so supportive, and all the groups I've joined this past year, and again, listen to your podcast and other podcasts and get immersed in the information side of things. People are willing to help and get you there. So I think just keep, you know, asking for what you think you deserve and then some, and making friends and asking questions.
Yeah. The asking question piece is so, so huge, whether it's a paid for thing or a free thing. I mean, there really are no silly questions. So
yeah,
that is really huge.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. And lastly, just tell everyone again, your website and your social media handles.
Yeah. So my website is littlebitsof.com. On Instagram, I'm at littlebitsof_realfood. Pretty much at littlebitsof everywhere else. And yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this and you ever want any advice on anything, please feel free to reach out to me. We're all still figuring this out along the way. So I am so, so honored to be on the show, and I'm so excited for, you know, what the future holds for all of us.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelsey. You were so much fun. You're just as fun as you are on your Instagram stories.
Oh, I hope so.
You can find all information about Kelsey and Little Bits of in our show notes at nicoleculverblog.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Blissful Bites podcast. If you like this episode, subscribe to the podcast so you can hear more inspiring interviews and a helpful business tip.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.